story of King Anga, King Venu, and Prithu Maharaj from 4th canto. Dhruva Maharaj had a son named Utkala. He was a devotee and liberated soul from his very birth. He had equal vision, and he saw the soul everywhere and within everyone's heart. He appeared to everyone like a foolish, deaf, dumb, and blind person. He posed like this so that he would not be involved in material life. As a result, his family members and his ministers, they considered Utkala, the son of Dhruva Maharaj, to be stupid and mad. So they installed Dhruva's other son, who was his younger brother, Vatsara, on the royal throne. 5 generations after Dhruva appeared a person named Chakshusha, and he became the 6th Manu. And this Chakshusha had 12 sons, and his youngest son named Ulmuka had 6 sons, the eldest of whom was named Anga. He was a king. King Anga was once performing an Ashwamedha Yajna with qualified brahmanas, but somehow none of the demigods appeared at that yajna. The brahmanas told King Anga, "We have done our offerings correctly, but the demigods are not accepting it. We know that you have collected all the proper articles and our chanting of Vedic mantras is correct. We don't understand why we're being neglected and why the demigods are not accepting their shares of the sacrifice." King Anga became upset and he said, "My dear brahmanas, what offense have I done so the demigods refuse to come and accept their shares of the yajna?" His Purohit replied, "King Anga, you have not been offensive or sinful. But in your previous life, you did perform sinful activities. And as a result, you do not have any sons in this life. If you pray to God for a son and perform a special Puchesti Yajna, your desire will be fulfilled." Then Lord Hari will come to benedict you along with all the demigods. Shortly later, a fire yajna was performed, and out of the fire came a person dressed in white and carrying a golden pot filled with sweet rice. King Anga accepted that sweet rice and offered it to his wife, Sunita. Somehow that kheer produced a male child after the queen was impregnated by King Anga. A daughter generally takes after a father, and a son takes after his mother. This son was named King Vena. He took after his grandfather, so he became very irreligious. Sometimes the Supreme Lord arranges that a bad wife or child appears in the family of a devotee so that the devotee can become more easily detached from household life. Vena was such a boy, such a son. He would kill innocent deer. He was very frightening to behold. The citizens would cry whenever they saw him, "Oh, here comes that cruel Vena." When he played with his playmates, he would often kill them as if they were sacrificial animals. Although his father, King Anga, punished him in attempts to reform him, he could not bring his son, King Vena, to the proper path of morality. And King Anga was thinking, actually, it's much better to have no son, because then one doesn't have to suffer the misery of having a bad son. Although on one level, a bad son is better than a good one, because it's so intolerable to live at home with a bad son that a person like me automatically develops detachment. It's easy to leave family life. Thinking like this, King Anga passed many sleepless nights. In fact, he became very detached. And one night he got up in the middle of the night and left his opulent palace and all his queens and went to the forest. The next morning, everyone became alarmed at his disappearance and they searched all over looking for him. They couldn't find him. So the rishis, they were quite alarmed, knowing that in the absence of a king, then all the dacoits would take over. So they installed King Anga's son, Venu, upon the throne. Although everybody knew he was very cruel and harsh, but the good side of it was that all the thieves and rogues in the kingdom, they ran away in fear of King Venu. But now that he was the emperor, King Vena became more proud. And he stopped the brahmanas from doing yajnas or giving charity. And he told all the sages to stop their religious practices. The sages were not happy and they said that we're all suffering under this irreligious king. So they decided to advise King Vena to rectify his behavior. And they threatened him if he didn't that they would polish him off. So they met with King Vena, all the brahmanas, and they suggested that he start acting religiously and allow the people to practice their dharmic activities. Otherwise, he would meet some dire result. King Vena didn't appreciate their suggestion. He rather criticized them, compared them to unchaste women, and said that they don't understand that the king is God. If you don't worship the king as God, you'll never be happy. He told them that you should know that the demigods and even Vishnu are all parts of the king's body. So just worship me and you'll get everything. Obviously, King Vena had become cracked, speaking such nonsense things. He insulted the brahmanas, so they cried out to kill this wretch. So then the brahmins with their brahman tejas, they uttered the sound, hum, hum, hum. And then they killed King Vena. So now in the absence of King Vena, all the dacoits and gundas started to disrupt the society and create fear everywhere. The thieves were plundering the subjects. They thought they have to produce another king somehow or other. So they used King Vena's dead body and churned his body and produced a... First they produced someone named Bahuka, who was very blackish in color and short in stature, reddish eyes and copper-colored hair. Appearing, then he asked the sages, "What should I do?" They told him to sit down. The word for sitting down is Nishida. So he became known as Nishada. became the father of the Nishada race. So this class, the Nishadas, they're pretty much absorbed in stealing and hunting. So they usually only live in the hills and forests. Then the sages churn the two arms of Venu's body, and a male and female were produced. One was Prithu, the Shakti Vesha avatar, and his wife, an expansion of Lakshmi named Archie. So the Gandharvas showered flowers, and there was auspicious sound of conch shells and bugles and drums in the sky. And all the higher beings came down to earth to celebrate the appearance of King Prithu. Even Brahma observed the auspicious lines on Prithu's hand and said that he appears to be an expansion or partial representation of God. Shortly after, Prithu was coronated as the emperor. He was given various gifts by the different demigods at the coronation. Kovera gave Prithu a golden throne. Varuna gave him a royal white umbrella. Vayu gave him two chamaras. Dharma gave him a garland. Indra gave Vali a helmet. Yamaraj gave a ruling scepter. And Brahma gave him a kavacha, spiritual knowledge. Lord Vishnu gave Prithu a Sudarshan chakra, an embodied partial prowess of his original disc. Lakshmi gave unlimited wealth. And this way everyone gave him different gifts. Surya gave him arrows, and goes on. So then the reciters were singing about different qualities. They were glorifying King Prithu, and he said, "Listen, I haven't even done anything yet, so let me do something that's befitting for you, then you can glorify me." So Prithu, his humility and sweet speech pleased everyone very much. Although he wanted them to desist from his glorification, the sages continued, and they said that, "Oh, Prithu, you're an empowered incarnation, Shakti Vesh of Krishna, and you'll do so much to spread Dharma and save the people." There's a whole long discussion about what he'll be able to do. He'll be able to see the internal, external activities of the citizens. And he won't even punish the citizens, he'll be fair to them. All the citizens will be very satisfied under his rulership. King Prithu will respect every woman as if it's his mother, and treat his wife as the better half of his body. He'll be like an affectionate father to the citizens. So there seemed to be some lack of food in the kingdom, so King Prithu personally approached Bhumi and scared her in such a way that he was able to grow so much food. The earth was producing so much food under his order. The whole arrangement was made with a calf and a pot and a milkman. Somehow they personify the earth's planet in a form of a calf, and then they milk the earth calf and got so many desirable things from her. And then they transformed different people into calves and extracted things from them. The daityas or demons, they transformed one of their family members, Prahlad, into a calf and extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they kept in an iron pot. And Gandharva's and Apsaras transformed Vishvasu into a calf throughout heavenly milk. There's all kinds of transformation. One person to another. So during King Prithu's reign, the earth supplied all necessities of life to every living creature. Prithu became very satisfied with the production of the earth and treated her like his own daughter. He leveled the hilly regions of the earth and divided the land for various residential quarters, farms, for the benefit of his citizens. Prithu Maharaj initiated the Ashwamedha Yajna, horse sacrifices. During the time of all these sacrifices, the whole earth became like a giant kamadeno, supplying all kinds of necessities in abundance. Oceans were full of pearls and jewels. Mountains contained minerals. And the cows gave profuse milk. Indra had previously performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, but he could not tolerate that Prithu may be able is about to succeed. So Indra became envious. So when he was going to do his number 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, Indra appeared disguised there. Well, actually, he's invisible, and he stole the sacrificial horse from Maharaj Prithu. Prithu's son took up the chase and chased Indra throughout his face, although he became invisible.